This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
How about you guys that are listening? We're glad to have you. However, you guys are taking in today's program, the WEEI Afternoon Show, whether it's on 93.7 FM, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, YouTube Live. So many ways to take in a great show. So many different opinions. So many fun things to talk about. And now, as Ted Johnson steps into the studio in the 3 o'clock hour. What's up, Ted?
Hey, guys, how we doing? Good to see everybody. Happy birthday, Megan. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we had a nice quick first hour, Ted.
It was a good listen.
Your favorite moment?
All of it.
Oh, man, I love
beginning
it.
Beginning to end.
Sounds like somebody who didn't listen at all. What was your favorite movie? All of them?
Remember when you guys talked sports about that player that did that thing?
That was awesome.
It's like when they asked LeBron about The Godfather.
Oh, my God, honestly. It was big, though, yesterday. Walker Buehler, my guy. Didn't I say on our show that the last couple of days I pumped his tires
you
and
did.
Said he was going to come through for us, right?
And you were correct on that, man. I mean, what? He was dealing with 7 strikeouts, 6 mm-hmm. and a third. So
6 and a third, longest start, as the Ball Hawk told us, in 3 years for him as well.
They needed that bit bad yesterday, for sure.
Yeah, they did as well. And I think you're going to get more of that because he's not just a thrower. He's not a hurler anymore. He is a pitcher. Speaking of someone who knows how to deal, that was a Market 10 segue right there. Mm-hmm. Let's turn it over to Dan Ball and the 3-point stance.
319!
Ready!
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to 3.
Tatum puts up a 3. Bang!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
3.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Before we begin, since this is a safe space on this show today, Ted, guess what's on my laptop right now, my friend?
Oh, my God.
Is it the Masters?
It is coverage of the Masters.
I didn't know where that was
Hello,
going.
Hello, friends.
I was very nervous.
Hey, Ted, guess what's on my laptop right now? Coverage of the Masters? No, OnlyFans.
Viruses.
All can be true as we welcome you to the 3 o'clock hour here on WEEI Afternoons and the 3-point stance. As it is 3 o'clock, we'll go around the table. Each host will present their opening take and their take on some of the biggest stories floating around the world of sports and sometimes beyond. Our order today, it is Nick Fitzy Stevens and then Ted Johnson and our good friend Mego. Each host will have 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening take on whatever their story is today. And after each is gone, we will open up for discussion on each. Nick Fitzy Stevens, you will lead us off today. Are you ready, my friend?
Oh, man, batting in the leadoff spot. I am honored, I'm chuffed, and I'm ready.
All right. Well, your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right. I know, guys, I have spent a lot of time here on the 3-point stance talking about various draft picks that the Patriots could possibly make April 24th, Mego. Is it going to be Jalen Walker, who's become a recent name? Early on, I was in on Mason Graham, then I was kind of forced out. And I'll accept Will Campbell. Oh, bemoaning the fate of the Patriots because they should be drafting whoever they want at the top. Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, likely not to be members of the Patriots. However, that doesn't mean that they will not be without elite talent come the end of April, because earlier today, an account, a very good one too, at PatsPro underscore 21, tweeted this. Hey, at Greg A. Bedard, have a question. Every chance you get, you allude to a blockbuster trade the Pats could make. Is this something you're speculating on, or do you know for a fact they're big game hunting? Okay. Big boy Bedard, he of the famous Gronk tweet, but also a lot of good intel and insidery information, often does know something, but, you know, he could be trying to chum the waters because it is that season. He actually replies moments later and writes, I know. What do you know, Greg Bedard? Are the New England Patriots, in fact, big game hunting? Is there a huge trade, as we have heard, on the horizon for the Patriots? And if so, who could it be?
Makes sense. It would make sense at four.
You think so?
I mean, if look, two quarterbacks that are considered maybe, you know, going in the top five, top
yeah.
10. So, yeah, I think the four is a clear spot for maybe a trade-up.
Yeah. And could it be a trade-up, a trade-back, or Ted, could they be pursuing talent outside the organization?
That's a good question.
Sounds like you guys have some theories.
We do, and we should get into those after Ted gets bumped up from the three hole into the two spot for a change.
He does indeed, and that is when I ask you, Ted Johnson, are you ready?
Let's do it, Dan.
All right, my friend, your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right, so I don't know if anybody's read Shaughnessy today in the Globe, but he had some interesting comments and thoughts on the new book that Bill Belichick came out with called The Art of Winning. He has had a chance to read it. And one of his first thoughts is this. He writes 289 pages, this book is, and Bill is telling us, you're thinking that the Bill is going to tell us the secret sauce of 24 seasons at the helm in Foxborough. He couldn't wait to read what he really thinks of Bob Kraft and how he'd explain Malcolm Butler not playing in the February 2018 Super Bowl against the Eagles in Minneapolis. Sorry, folks, it's not in there. As any author of many books, I'd estimate this one's about 80,000 words, Shaughnessy says. Two words not in the book, Robert Kraft. Never, not once is he mentioned. And that gives you more evidence that BB is PPV, which is petulant, petty, and vindictive. If you think about what RKK has done for Bill Belichick, traded a first-round draft pick to get him from the Jets, gave him an immense amount of power after winning the Super Bowl in 2001. RKK has made him the highest-paid executive in the NFL by far for many, many years. RKK didn't fire him after Super Bowl against Philly, in which he didn't play Malcolm Butler. Robert Kraft kept Tom Brady here longer than Bill Belichick wanted him here. And without Robert Kraft, I don't think Bill Belichick is in the Hall of Fame.
That's absolutely not true.
All right, Bill. I'd like to hear your arguments against all that. That is, I just think Robert Kraft had much more, deserves more credit than what Bill Belichick is giving him or not giving him in his new book.
Wait, hold on. One more time. Just for anyone who plans on reading it or has heard about it and doesn't know much, or maybe some people like, oh, Belichick has a book. The words Robert Kraft are not mentioned once.
Never, not once.
I'm sorry. All right, we'll get into that in a minute. That's astounding to me. I'm borderline flabbergasted.
And in the interim, we will cross off that gift on Ted Johnson's Christmas list in 2025.
I have Kindle Unlimited. You guys want to read it for free? Oh, I probably shouldn't say that.
I think
that
the answer is still no.
Okay.
I really think it is. All right, Mego, it is your turn. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
Okay, well, don't be.
Okay.
And your 60 seconds starts right now.
All right, mine is actually not going to be a sports take because this is something that genuinely got me heated last night. So I went out with friends. I didn't think I was going to be on the radio today, so sorry for that. But I went out with friends for martinis, and we go into one neighborhood in Boston, and we walk in, and it's a lovely bar, and I know it's a kind of trendy spot. So they say, can we help you with seats? I said, oh, we're just going for seats at the bar. They say those are actually reserved.
Oh.
So we won't have anything for 2 more hours. And I'm like, that's very annoying, but this is a very trendy restaurant, so I guess it is what it is. We walk a couple blocks over, walk into another cocktail bar because I'm looking for a martini. Walk in, we're surveying the bar area. A woman comes up to me and says, can I help you guys tonight? And I said, oh, we're just looking for bar seats. And she said, do you have a reservation? And I said, for bar seats?
Huh.
And she said, yes, unfortunately, we're booked out until 10:30 tonight.
Unbelievable.
For bar seats. And I'm like, what is going on in this city? So we walk down another block. We go into another spot. The bar is totally full. And so we're walking over and the host comes over to us and I say, we can just stand by the bar.
Yeah,
we just have drinks and
just
stand
drink,
until something opens up. They say, you can't stand by the bar. Do you have a reservation? What is happening in our great city? Can I just stand at a bar? Can I wait for a bar seat to open? Why does it have to be a reservation system? Is this still a COVID thing? What are we doing here? Is someone just messing with me? Does everyone in the North End hate me? What's going on?
I'm not going to be the one to tell her that she's gone over time.
Nope, me neither.
She's rolling.
Whatever you say,
she's spitting right now, man.
Yeah, Stiz and I were not getting in the way.
You do not want to. Do not grab that dog's tail from behind when it's barking like
Dan,
that.
Dan,
needed my martini.
I hope you come back to Megan because I got some thoughts on that.
Okay.
I got a lot of thoughts on that one.
Yeah, I'd like to start there. And Fitzy, I'd like to start with you. You've had many a argument in your days. So what do you make of Mego's take?
I think it's nonsense. It drives me nuts. As somebody who just enjoys how infrequent I enjoy going to a bar so much because I used to be a bar fly and now I can't really go to them anymore with the combination of work, responsibility of being a parent of two young children. Bars are just kind of out of the equation and I can barely even get to a brewery anymore, which are, of course, obviously pro children so long as, they're not running around and throwing crap all over the place. And a lot of bars, when they do the whole I'm just picking up my pizzas. They're not ready yet. Is it okay if I sit at the bar and have a beer? I just want to get my kid a soda. Yeah, he can't be here. Like, okay, he's not going to order a freaking rum swizzle. He's not going to get a Negroni. He just wants a Coke or a cream soda or a root beer, sit next to his dad while we wait for the pizza and watch the game that's on your sports television. And these silly rules that they adhere to, and now that they've gone so far as to make bar seat reservations, and you can't stand at a bar, it's a bar. It's a lean-to. It's a social congregational area. It's not just that you have to have a particular seat. You should be able to go anywhere that you want, long as you're not obstructing the service.
It's a disease that's infecting the bars across Boston, telling me you have to have a reservation.
It's probably not Boston exclusive.
No, I've seen it in Portland too, my second city. And it pisses me off.
No, I'm going up there in 2 weeks. Tell me every place that has that policy,
and
I will not frequent them.
Is that unique to the North End? I mean, you said neighborhood bars.
Yeah.
I love neighborhood bars. I was like, where is she talking about?
That's the thing. I don't know. See? I don't think so. I think it's just like, I understand if it's a super trendy spot, but when you're going three spots in a row and they're all saying, do you have reservations for a bar seat?
I've never heard that in my life.
The point of the bar seat is that you don't have a table, so you go over and you hang out at the bar. It's a hangout spot. You're not even allowed to stand there because it's like they think you're some kind of creep.
You know what they
standing
want
behind a bar stool waiting for it to open up?
They want you to write to your local politicians and pound the table for seating outside so they can expand. And maybe that's
drives
their way
crazy.
Of... That is very unusual, though.
Yes, Stanley.
I will say this was a thing on Reddit a few months ago after just looking now, so you're not the only one who's noticed the only one who's pissed off
who's
about
being
it.
Told, and then one of the people said to me last night, I've never heard this
seat
before.
Reservation?
I've never heard this before.
It's the stupidest thing. It is first come, first serve. That's
it's a
the
bar.
Tweet. It's a bar.
It's a bar. And the one person said to me, because I said, we're not waiting until 10:30 to sit at a bar.
No.
And at this point, I'm just
annoyed. What time were you there, roughly?
It was like 6 o'clock.
That's unbelievable. You have a chance to make
Girl
money off of
these
drinks.
Girl can't even get a birthday teeny at 6 o'clock. She's got to have a bar seat.
And
I wonder how long those seats were empty there. You're losing money.
This person said to me, but thank you for your interest.
Wow.
Which just felt awful on top of everything else.
Yes, I know.
How sweet.
Thank you very much.
You thought you could walk in and sit at the bar. You sweet little thing.
Thank you very much. Text line for participating, 617-779-7937 for phones or text 857 Massachusetts State law. You have to be 21 to be seated at a bar. Yes, I know.
Do you have that reservation? Is that part of the law?
Can my son make a reservation to drink an effing Coke next to his dad while we watch the Celtics game and wait to pick up a pizza? God. This state and its ass-backward laws, I don't understand. Remember, I used to not even be able to buy booze on a Sunday because of the old blue laws, Ted. Of course, I imagine where you walk in rocking a big 5'2 with the Elvises flying
thing,
over your shoulders.
That's
kind of a statewide thing now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. But what about...
Like Sundays, remember? I'll go to the Packy on Saturday because you can't buy on a Sunday.
Okay. That is,
I love this place so much, but why does it have to be its own worst enemy?
Did it take the wind out of the sails? So did the night kind of end with a huge...
We did a very bad thing after that. We walked into the next place. This was the fourth place.
And just peed on the floor.
Well, there was no person at the host stand.
That'd been awesome.
So we just went and sat down.
Yes,
and
good for you.
And they came over, I kid you not, and said, do you have reservations?
I can't.
And we said, no, we don't, but is there... the seats were open, and they said, these seats are reserved for 7 p.m. Can you be up by 7 p.m.? And we said, yes, thank you. Can we just sit here for 55 minutes?
Yeah.
And then we will get out of your hair, and we will go somewhere else. But, like,
I want to give you
55
minutes.
I can't with the reservation thing.
I can't believe how many people. I know people live in the North End. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how you live in the North End with the traffic.
Well, I
and,
don't.
And those rules.
But we were trying to meet people from different areas of the city, so it was where we congregated.
And when you walked into
Charlestown next
time. When you walked in, yes, we were talking about Charlestown and how much we love. Yep. They're not a sponsor of the show, but I'm going to give them a shout out or a ding. The Warren Tavern, because it is just a come as you are type of place where you can go five deep at the bar and nobody worries about you have a reservation. We've had calls on a number of subjects to date. However, seems like you have struck a nerve, Mego. A quick call, Ted, if I may, right here on Mego's subject before we legislate our 3-point stances. John in Melrose. Good afternoon and welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Great How are
show.
You, buddy?
Love you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. First thing, I agree with Mego. This happened to me about, I don't know, 7 years ago at someone who advertised with you guys. But I just sat at the bar anyway, and I told them that they'd have to throw me out, me and my friends. And
that's one way to do it.
They let us stay. On the other end of the spectrum, though, Fitzy, I hate when someone brings a kid to the bar. I mean, if you're sitting in a booth or a high top, that's one thing.
Yep.
But, like, at the bar, I don't want to deal with the kid. I don't want to worry about what I say or what I drink or...
I hear you, John. No, I really do. It's a very fair point. I think I'm mostly talking about restaurants and places that have bars where you kind of wait because just I romance the idea. I used to do the same thing. Thank you for the call, buddy. Place in Braintree called Maria's Pizza. My favorite thing to do when my dad would order a couple of bar pizzas on a Friday night, we'd go pick them up. We'd watch the Sully's game. He'd order a drink, probably have none of it, rip about five darts. I'd get a Shirley Temple, and that was the drink
I
look forward to so much.
Oh, I've such got a great story.
I've got so much coal miner's lung from all of the darts ripped in my house and in the van with my dad.
It just made you stronger.
Yeah, absolutely.
It made your voice more professional. Perhaps if I had been around more smoking in my youth, I would have more of a professional radio voice, and I wouldn't sound like somebody's untrustworthy babysitter every time I'm on air.
That's not true. That's true.
Mego, the untrustworthy babysitter. Oh, man, she'll shake it up like a nanny. Ted, let's get to yours real quick. Actually, Dan, do you mind if we move on to Ted's?
No, of course.
Because we can talk about Ted's and then carry that over to our conversation with Tom Curran, which will be happening in about 12 minutes' time.
Look at that tease.
How nicely Tom courteously moved from Thursday to Friday since we only had a one-hour show yesterday before the Red Sox win against the Blue Jays. We'll ask him also about what he thinks regarding the mysterious Bedard tweet. But Ted, I understand people have a lot of feelings about the way Robert Kraft has conducted business from the departure of Tom Brady on. I know most people around here are loath to even want to discuss, let alone tell you their true feelings about how the dynasty was received mm-hmm. and the way that he treated Belichick and tried to reframe history in an effort to, I guess, either exonerate himself or make his work look more essential, and it's pretty essential in the first place, but also get himself into Canton. But to not mention Robert Kraft's name once, I don't care how mad you are at your ex-wife or how much a former employer may have burned you, to not even mention the man's name once, I mean, you can't rewrite history to that degree. That's book-burning bad.
It's bad. It's but I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised. The closest thing, and this is what Dan Shaughnessy said, that maybe he kind of references Robert Kraft without mentioning his name is in this this paragraph. He says, quote, somewhere, this is Bill's in Bill's words now in the book, somewhere someone came up with the phrase the Patriot way. This mm-hmm. was kind of interesting to me because I always thought Belichick supported this term, the Patriot Way.
The notion of the Patriot Way, right.
The Patriot Way. I think they made some money off it. Good for them. Here's something you should know. The Patriot Way does not exist. End quote. That was another big point that Shaughnessy made about what was written in Bill Belichick's book. And then one more thing that I think is also worth mentioning is this. In the acknowledgement section, he gives a shout out to his boy Bears, his wingman Bears. Plus, quote, thank you to my idea mill and creative muse, Jordan Hudson. So thank
is that
you.
Is that in the thanks and acknowledgments?
Yep. He does thank
Jordan.
He does thank Malcolm Butler, which I find to be interesting. And that's, I think there's an answer to that, if anybody can guess. So he thanks
for never burning me. Yep.
Thank you. There you go. You know, Fitzy. But 389 thank yous and acknowledgments. Never not once does he thank Robert Kraft or even mention him in his book.
It's possible that he thinks he's taking the high road because he's not burning him in the book.
I know, but like, but still, just sort of, you know, you acknowledge, thank you for taking a chance on me. Thank you for flattering me by saying you should have hired me back in 1997 and then going out of your way to trade picks. Even if you're then mad, like, I wouldn't be anywhere without the chance you took on me. Yes, Stanley.
Why should he mention the guy who not only fired him, but then did a whole subsequent documentary roasting him?
The whole documentary was not about roasting
Bill
Belichick.
It was a Bill Belichick hit piece.
It was not a Bill Belichick hit piece.
I don't agree.
It came off pretty poorly.
Elements of it came off
rather poorly. I don't
think
it was obvious in your face.
Definitely. I don't think the whole thing... Do you really believe all 8 episodes or all 10 episodes were...
No, obviously not all 8 episodes in every single word, but generally, was it like kind of anti-Bill Belichick? Yes.
He got vilified for sure.
Yes.
He got framed in a light that was not flattering for somebody who was such an integral part of the Patriots dynasty. And Ted, to the point of the Patriot way, the live talk shows that we do up in... I guess now called the Optum Club, all the red seats on the east side of the stadium that we do before games. I'm lucky enough to have a former Patriot there usually for a 30-minute extemporaneous chat with the fans. And Rodney Harrison was there with us like 6 years ago, and he was great. And I asked him, what do you think is the Patriot way? And he said, that doesn't really exist. He said, you want to know what the Patriot way is? He said, he just pointed to the end zone.
TB12?
He said, it's the Super Bowls. It's winning. It's doing everything you can to try to win, to give up, to sacrifice and make selfless gestures towards winning and for the team. But there is no true, like, Patriot way. We're not handed a book or a pamphlet that says, like,
these are our ideologies, here's
the 15, Crash, 10 commandments.
Right.
Like, these are not the tenets of the Patriot way. It's whatever you expect or want it to be.
Did you ever hear Bill Belichick in all of his time, though, ever say anything negative about the Patriot way? I kind of always thought he was on board with that term being bantied about, because I always feel like Bill wants to us all to think that he has this exact blueprint for the art of winning. Like, am I going to open it up and see, oh, these are clearly defined, you know, ideologies and methodologies on how you win football games? My guess is you probably won't, because I don't think he has clear, defined methodologies and opinions on exactly how you do it. So I just kind of always thought it was a Belichick thing, too. So for him to say that in the book, I was surprised.
There are text messages galore that I would love to get to. Mego, I want to get to what you have to say about this as well. However, we are, as they say in the biz, up against it. So we're going to trend, go to commercial, pay a couple bills, and when we come back, don't you guys go anywhere, because Tom E. Curran from NBC Sports Boston will join us. He'll weigh in on the Bill Belichick book, The Omission of Robert Kraft. We'll talk some draft. You know, we'll get into the Hall of Fame, a couple of drinks. Hopefully he reserved his bar seat. We're going to have a good time. 617-779-7937. And now, as I just mentioned, let's catch you up on everything trending in the wide world of Boston sports.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With Dan Ball. Normally he's kind enough to join us at 3:30 on a Thursday, but seeing as though we had a shortened program yesterday to make room for the Sox in their big 5-3 extra innings game, he was kind enough to bump down a day. So therefore, it is a pleasure now to have with Ted Johnson and Miss Megan Donnellini from NBC Sports Boston, our pal, the great, almighty, and powerful Tom E. Curran joining WEEI Afternoons. Tommy, how are you, guy?
What a tremendous introduction, 50. I appreciate you. How's everybody?
least I could do, my friend. Tommy, side note, I know you don't want to ever do too much grab-assery at the top, but knowing how much you love golfing, knowing about the simulator and everything else, how much do you love Masters Weekend?
I adore it. And, you know, got myself into a nice little pool where you pick seven golfers. They're all in different tiers. Five of their scores count. And I was rocking steady atop the leaderboard yesterday because I had Scheffler, I had Rose, and I had my guy Corey Connors, and I also had Maverick McNeely. No one needs to hear all this, but
that's okay.
You know, we've been on water a little bit on day two, but we're going to bounce back.
Very nicely done. And of course, everybody, Tom E. Curran is kind enough to join us thanks to sponsorship from Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tom, one thing I know everyone around here gives a poop about, there you go, killer segue, no worries, is the draft that's coming up mercifully in but 13 days' time. And I know all of us can't wait to get there, but as we get tired of like the mock drafts, I saw something earlier today. I just want to see if you could get a little, maybe a little intel on this one. Somebody tweeted at Bedard and said, hey, you keep alluding to a blockbuster trade the Patriots could make. Is it something you're speculating on, or do you know for a fact that they're big game hunting? And Bedard actually tweeted back at him a couple hours ago and said, I know. So I ask you, Tommy Curran, you're a pretty plugged in type of guy down there in Foxborough. Do you know anything or, you know, get an idea of maybe a big trade?
I know that they're anxious to make moves still, and they have a ton of cap space. No one has said to me, hey, we're looking to make a giant trade here. but in my experience, that's not really how it works. But given the landscape and given the fact that they have stated publicly numerous times that we're going to try and explore everything to get our team better, then I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. So I would brace for that. And I mean, the bottom line, though, is do you want to make a trade to make your team better in 2025? Or do you want to have the fourth overall pick and make your team better in 2025 through 2030? You know, I mean, honestly, if it's a trade that involves the first round pick and doesn't involve a whole hell of a lot coming back except another first round pick and a player, you know, I can see it. And I'm just, you know, spitballing here because I didn't expect to be talking trade off the top, but I just think you need to find really good players who are young and on their rookie contracts. So trades are awesome. That's great. But don't piss around with the fourth overall pick. Mm-hmm. Get a good player who you can plug next to Drake May, hopefully, whether it be a tackle, tight end, running back, wherever you want to stick him. And just say, you guys are good for the next 6 years, okay? Good. Bye.
So, Tom, you've been exploring the possibility, as you mentioned, tight end there, of the Penn State tight end, Tyler Warren, and whether that's something that the Patriots might be interested in adding, whether he's somebody. What's your sense of that as we sit here a couple weeks out from the draft, and what kind of fit do you think he would be with the Patriots?
The reason I keep coming back to this, Mego, is they went bananas on defense. Carlton Davis, Robert Spillane, Milton Williams. They still haven't done very much on offense. Obviously, we all know that. So what are they going to face on draft night? If Abdul Carter's there, it seems as if you almost positively have to take him because he and Hunter are the two best players in the draft. But if you're looking at, say, Walker, the edge player from Georgia, and Will Campbell and Tyler Warren, the best player among those three, generally on every big board, is Tyler Warren. Now, he's mocked to 8, 9, 10, 7. But I'm looking at it as, okay, you don't have necessarily a wide receiver that draws coverage. You do have Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper, and that's terrific. They're both 31. If you can get a tight end who, you know, had 104 catches to 1,200 yards last year in college, 6'6", 250, is a factor in the blocking game, runs after the catch, wouldn't say poof if he has a mouthful in terms of an individual. Doesn't even have social media.
You have such a way with words, Tom.
Thank you. That was one of my mother's old sayings. So I would say that is the kind of fit that you want to surround. If it's important for the Patriots guys to surround Drake May with players that they can rely on, that they know what they're getting, and they need to do that at four, why don't you take a stable guy who can help him not just this year, but in years going forward as well? And that's why I think Tyler Warren, I mean, he is the fourth, him and Genty are the fourth and fifth best players on virtually every big board in terms of best player available. So take the best player.
I sign off on that as well, Tom. Vrabel, you know, the offseason workouts started this past week, and Vrabel made a speech to the team. And, you know, a lot of people have just kind of weighed in on the tone and tenor of that speech. I'm sure you've heard it by now. Any mm-hmm. thoughts on just what his message was to the players and overall, you know, just your thoughts on how he addressed the team in that video?
I think it's interesting, Ted. He just keeps circling back to the point of putting the team first. And that sense that we got even when Teddy Bruschi talked months ago before they made any moves, we're going to remove the Patriots need to remove that sense of entitlement in the building. And that's something that Vrabel said. And that's something we've seen a number of moves that the team has made to move on from people, whether it be via trade or release. So even if you're a good player, and even if you've been a big contributor and somebody who was a great leader here in previous years, they might be looking at it and say, you're a very good leader. You've been a good player. The team is 8-26 over its last 34 games. So if you believe that your position is safe here because you're one of the five best or 10 best players on an 8-26 team, sorry, that's not the case. I really think that he wants everybody on a clean slate, regardless of who you are. Improve yourself. As Bill used to tell you guys, establish your level every single year, regardless of who you are.
Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Tom, I ran into a tweet somebody posted a couple hours ago, Dan Kelly. In 89, the Packers, speaking to the BPA principal here, Packers took Tony Mandarich 2 overall. Next three picks were Sanders, Derek Thomas, Deion Sanders. 2004, Raiders reached and took Robert Gallery at 2 overall. Next three picks, Larry Fitzgerald, Phillip Rivers, and Sean Taylor. Point of this tweet, get the best player available. So I couldn't agree with you more on that front. Like, you have to stick this pick. You can't futz around with this one. Don't play with your food. And speaking to doing whatever the team can do to make Drake May as happy as possible, do we feel now that the Joe Milton dust has settled, that the deck and runway are appropriately cleared for him? Are everything good back in the wide world of developing Drake and him taking over?
Yeah, and I think that there was a lot of air and energy expended on a guy who was a sixth-round pick who was traded to return a fifth, and you had to give up a seventh to even do that. So I'm all set on Joe. I mean, God bless him. Hope he does well and gets and realizes everything that he wants.
Tom, looking ahead to the draft again, do you feel any level of concern that they have left so much of the offense seemingly up to the draft, unless there's a dramatic trade that happens in the time in between or after that, or they pick somebody up that becomes a free agent? You're really mm-hmm. looking at filling especially the left tackle spot in that draft, and it's an area that they've futzed around with for the last couple off seasons.
That's where the trade perhaps can come in. You know, what do you give up your second round pick for a younger left tackle? And I, again, spitballing, I don't have a candidate in mind, but you know, we started out talking about conceivable trades. If you're going to look at Will Campbell at number 4 overall, and most people look at him as a little bit better, maybe worse than Membu, still a top 12 prospect, but with some mitigating circumstances regarding arm length, brilliant character, tremendous production, but that mitigating circumstance, do you look at that and say, you know what, that's too much of a dice roll. If it doesn't work out, he's a guard, and we're still back where we were. So maybe you do go best player available, whether that be Jalen Walker, whether it be Tyler Warren. I don't think anybody's going to be trading down. I just don't. I think you can throw a blanket over those teams, over those players from about 4 to 20 and say, whatever you want, you should take it because they're all pretty much the same level. But if you go ahead and take the best player available at 4 and you don't feel comfortable about how you're going to fill left tackle, whether it be the kid Josh Connolly from Oregon or whether Josh Simmons from Ohio State, who had an injury, the Patriots could try and angle to get him late in the first, then maybe a trade would make the most sense. But you can't come out of the draft without those two positions addressed, in my opinion, and then probably in the opinion of everybody sitting in front of a radio right now, you three included.
Hey, Tom, just one more question from us. Just I don't know if you read Shaughnessy's article today, but he just talks about he read the Bill Belichick's book that comes out soon, The Art of Winning, and he just kind of mentions in there in the 80,000-word book that Bill Belichick never mentions Robert Kraft, never, not once. And I just think it's ridiculously unfair. Do you have any thoughts on that subject at all?
On Bill's not mentioning Robert or on the book?
Yeah, on Bill not mentioning Robert, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I think that Bill's way of operating is... Ted, you know it better than me. I mean, there are days where he's going to be engaging. There are days he's going to act as if you are not even on the planet, the same planet with him if you were in an elevator. And that's for a normal person. For somebody for whom he probably has some animosity at this point, Robert, then, and I think it's animosity certainly built up since last January when they parted ways. I do think that Bill probably would have gone off into that good night last January, but that was unrealistic to expect that to happen. I think as time evolved and the chess pieces kept getting moved as to we had to fire him, you know, Robert using that term. And, just all that has transpired since where, you know, the Patriots and Robert Kraft, they really didn't let sleeping dogs lie, which I don't blame them. There's a reason the team has gone 8-26. And a lot of it, I would say 78% to 85% of it rests at the feet of Bill from, you know, 2017 to 2023 and where the team went under his guidance. But I'm not surprised that Bill kind of looks at Robert as persona non grata, which will be fascinating if and when it comes time to put him into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
And what the mood will be then. That'll be a dead fish handshake if you haven't seen that.
Oh, boy. I'm already uncomfortable thinking about it. Tommy, appreciate the time as always. I know Ted said last question, but I'll just throw you a singular answer one. Obviously, this week, Patriots Hall of Fame nominees came out. Mankins, Edelman, Vinatieri, do you like the class and who you got?
Oh, yeah. I love the class. And I think that Adam deserves it more than anyone because of what he represents, what he accomplished, the fact that he is the greatest kicker in NFL history, even though a large portion of his time was spent elsewhere. I remember in 2005, I was in the Kansas City Chiefs press box talking to some of their writers because it was only one kicker. I don't know if Stenerud was in the Hall of Fame yet or not, but I was doing a story in 05 as to if Stenerud gets in, would Adam Vinatieri be the next guy? That was 2005. He went on to play for however many years afterwards.
Yeah.
So to me, I think Vinatieri would be the really easy choice, but you get three guys who are eminently deserving, and all will get in at some point.
Absolutely. Hopefully they'll save a red jacket for you as well one day, my friend. At Tom E. Curran on the socials if you want to follow him, NBC Sports Boston on the TV and NBCSportsBoston.com. Patriots Talk Podcast. Tommy, have a great weekend. Good luck with your Masters pool. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Take care, guys. Enjoy. Have a good weekend.
Cheers. You too. Tom E. Curran here joining us on WEI Afternoons. That ran a little long, so we're going to pay some bills. When we come back, let's react to some of the things Tom said. Keep the Patriots dialogue going here with Dan, with Stiz, with Ted, Mego, Fitzy, and you on WEI Afternoons. That was our pal Tommy Curran, who just joined us moments ago here on WEI Afternoons. If you happen to miss the interview, I'm so sorry, but you know what? Best thing is you can use the Odyssey app, rewind, listen to it at your time, subscribe to the WEI Afternoons podcast, or the Six Rings and Football Things podcast feed, where we post each and every Giardi interview, Tom E. Curran, and the best of our Patriots talk, and so much more. So what do you think? So let's just ask, go around the room here. If the Patriots are, in fact, considering, as Bedard says, a big trade, what do you think? What kind of trade are we talking, maybe, Ted, and what would it be for?
You know what? Obviously, you got to have, it takes two to tango. So yep. It's not about the Patriots wanting to trade. It's about somebody wanting to trade with the Patriots. So if that's the case, you know, I would feel comfortable if they go back to 6 or 9, Megan. I don't know. You know, like where you can still maybe get a Tyler Warren. That's a guy that I'd like. Tom, I've been high on him the whole time. Like, if you can go back just a few spots, you know, the Raiders at 6, you know, maybe the Saints at 9, but get something, you know, like a second round draft pick out of the deal, I'm okay with that. I am. If you think like the top two tackles are the same and you think you can get Mambu still at 6 or 9, then okay. But past that, I wouldn't feel comfortable with it. But if those two scenarios presented themselves, it would be hard for me, if you're the Patriots, not to consider it.
Yeah, I agree. I think, to me, it seems like it has to have to do with solving the issue of left tackle. Because if it's something where you look at 4 and you don't like Will Campbell, even though, God, it seems like everybody connected to the Patriots says that they do like Will Campbell.
Doesn't it seem like everyone, quote, has a lot of fans in the building these days?
And you trade back and you are looking for your left tackle then in on day 2 or something, and you're collecting future draft capital, and because you know that this is going to be a several year thing. Or if it's a trade that's for, God, like a Tunsil trade, like the Commanders did, which I don't know who's given up their left tackle that's a turnkey left tackle to start in September these days. But to me, it seems like if they've left it this long and they haven't found the solution, that's what it has to be geared towards.
And if you're Patriots social media, everyone is obviously thinking they're going to find a way to swing a trade for A.J. Brown, which I doubt is going to be the case. But hey, you know what? Now is the time. It's mock draft season to just keep dreaming. Ted, let's carry the show on the other side, get into the third hour of the program. Let's talk some Patriots Hall of Fame. Let's present the cases for all three of the very worthy candidates, as Tommy Curran pointed out. But before that, let us bid farewell with much gratitude and best birthday wishes to our friend Megan Onalini for joining us.
Happy birthday, Meg.
Get out and have a great time.
I'm going to make some reservations at some bars.
Just not in the north end.
Yeah, exactly.
Just some bar reservations, 2 seats in the corner. Okay.
That's all she needs in a well-poured martini. Thank you very much. It was great having
you today,
Meg.
Have a good weekend.
617-779-7937 is your text line and telephone number. Ted, Dan, Stiz, and Fitz got you covered here for the next couple hours on WEEI Afternoons. Don't go anywhere.